podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Welcome to episode 130 of the Unholy Trinity Podcast, brought to you in association with Sports Social, the UK's only dedicated sports podcast network, and also Fanatics. It's been a while. It's been a few weeks, unfortunately. I've been on holiday. Unfortunately for our listeners, I've been on holiday. It was the first time in 3.5 years after COVID. So it was nice to get away. Just took off just as the full time whistle went to Goodison Park when we beat Manchester United. So that was nice knowing I was going away and watched us pick up a point at home to Leicester in the game that really, you know, we wanted to, or we'd said on paper, we need to really win. But Everton, 4 points last couple of games, a little bit of positivity, going into arguably the most daunting task of the season, I think, going to Anfield, a game we weren't expected to win, a game we haven't won, a game we haven't got anything from, but that doesn't tell the whole story, as we know. We're going to go into that straight away, but before we do, little introduction. Back on the show again. I think it's your third time, Jim. It's Jim Keoghan, author of many, many excellent Everton books and other footballing literature, which again, we'll put out the Amazon link after the show. Welcome on back onto the show, Jim.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Always great to have you on. Unfortunately, it's not in particularly positive circumstances as we speak. Everton dropped into the bottom three before the game against Liverpool after Burnley won again. Very, very difficult situation at the moment, Jim. What's your gut feeling at this moment in time in terms of how things are looking for the remainder of the season? Do you see Everton staying up?
No, to be honest. I think if you asked me that a few weeks ago, I'd have thought that Burnley were the more likely to drop, probably, because their form was really poor. But they seem to have responded to a managerial change really well. They're playing teams who have got nothing to play for, pretty much, I think, apart from Spurs. They've beaten Wolves today, who had something to play for. We've still got hard games. I think the frustrating thing is, I think this version of Everton, kind of Lampard's Everton, are probably not a relegation side. They're not very good, but you kind of think if he'd been in charge the whole season, we wouldn't be in this position. But we've been, I mean, our season's been ruined by the appointments of Benitez. Although Lampard's certainly not been flawless, he hasn't, and he's certainly made mistakes, I feel like this team isn't that bad. It's probably a mid-table to bottom half team. It's not a relegation team, but I don't think he's going to have enough time to kind of really turn things around, unfortunately. And you look at our running, you look at Burnley's, you look at kind of their current form. Anything's possible, and we've still got the chance to save ourselves. But kind of in your gut, the idea of Everton being relegated just seems more certain now than it has been at any other point in the season, I think.
Yeah, certainly. I said to the lads during the game, I felt even a hard time today after, you know, a spirited first half performance. I felt sick watching the game today. And we didn't expect to go there and get anything, to be honest. We didn't. I think that result, obviously Burnley's result before today's game, certainly impacted me, and as you know, probably impacted a lot of people. If they come out of that game and they've lost it and they're still in the bottom three, it helps us as fans and helps the players, you know. And to be fair to the players, you know, we're going to go into it in a second. I thought they give a decent account of themselves in terms of, you know, how limited we are. We're so inferior to Liverpool. That's just the honest truth. They're so much better in every single area. But Everton did well, but probably tactically one of Lampard's better setups. I thought everyone knew the job. Given, you know, bearing in mind Ben Godfrey before the game pulls up in the warm-up, yet again another player who's getting injured due to starts and gets pulled out. You know, and I think everyone did a decent job. But I think that Burnley result has really, really impacted things. And I know Lee, you're a little bit different because you tweeted before the game, after the Burnley results, about listen, you know, we still got, obviously before today, 7 games to go. We still got games in hand, you know, let's have some positivity. What are you feeling after today's game? Have things changed, or are you still trying in that particular mindset?
You've got to be positive. You've got to be positive. If we go down, we go down. You know what I mean? I mean, it'd be horrendous, but you know, at the end of the day, Lampard will be saying the same to the lads in the changing room, won't he? You know, at the end of the day, we've got to be positive in the face of adversity here. You know, we've got 6 games to play, 18 points to play for now. And you know, for me, arguably, if we can get 9 from those 18 available, I think that should be enough. Look, it's not going to be easy. Jim's right. I mean, I totally agree with what you said there, mate. I think that Lampard's Everton here is probably around about a mid-table side. He's inherited a mess. We know that. He's been unfortunate with a few key injuries as well. And you know, we've had some good results. We've had some poor results. You know, okay. Sky and everyone else and the press try and focus on the negatives about the away form, but that the away form was horrendous before he took over. The home form has been pretty decent. I think I'm right in saying is it 6 from 8? He's winning all comps at home, or around that figure there or thereabouts. So you know he's fixed the home form, if you like. It's just the away form is which has been absolutely shocking. We've won 1 game at Brighton all season, and that was back in September time, wasn't it? So. August, even, it's even worse. But I mean, but no, overall, we've got to remain positive, lads. We've got to. I thought overall today they put in a real good performance. You know, considering you know the hands we've been dealt. No Van de Beek, no Gomez. Riyad Mina was unable to play. You know, 2 games in a few days. You know, then like you said, Mike Godfrey in the warm up. But I thought Lampard got the tactics spot on today. That's how for me. That if you're an inferior team. In which most teams are now in Europe, never mind the Premier League, that's how you get a result at Anfield. Or, you know, you try and get a result at Anfield, sorry. You know, Inter Milan showed the blueprint a few weeks ago. They went there, played very similar, but when they countered with quality. Now, at times today, we showed some absolute quality in terms of Gordon bursting away from people. We just didn't quite have that sort of guile or, you know, that ball that you look at James Rodriguez's ball there last season, for example. There was no one quite in the team who was able to open them up, but you know, decision making, whatever you want to call it. But overall, I thought they gave a good account of themselves today. Every Everton fan out there now can be proud of their team. Okay, they've lost, but they can't turn around and say that we didn't try and put a shift in. If you lose games to quality, you lose games to quality. If you lose games to effort, like United did there the other day, which was embarrassing, it's a different story, isn't it?
What are your thoughts, Pete? Obviously, you said it was a hard time. Obviously, how we played and. You know, even looking back and trying to reflect so quickly, you know, there's still a belief there that we did, didn't we? You know, like I said, the setup was right for the game and the players acquitted themselves well. How are you feeling now immediately post-match?
I mean, it's a strange one because the elephant in the room for me is the penalty. Mm. We were brilliant first half. I thought we were absolutely excellent. And you know, after the first half had ended, I said to you lads, you know, of course it's going to be a tall order to get a similar performance out of the next 45. But that was the game changer for me. I, you know, when you don't get a decision like that, you know, what that must do psychologically. You know, it's already an uphill battle playing, you know, a side like Liverpool in the form that they're in, away from home, like with Lisa, with all the things that we've got going against us. We're already going into the game a wounded animal. But then when the referee bottles a decision like that, you know, where do you go from there? And I think after that, well, certainly for me, I was watching the game thinking, well, it's just a matter of time now. It's just a matter of time before either they get another daft decision or one of the players that we've already got booked gets another soft yellow. You could just feel that. You know, from there, at some point, something daft, you know, would happen that would give them a goal. And, you know, they got 2 really scrappy, fluky goals that you can't really put down to, I don't think, you know, individual errors or, you know, defensive setup. But, you know, for me, it all comes from not getting those decisions. And, you know, yes, he got a correct yellow for the dive, but there was also another shove on the back from Alexander-Arnold in a similar position where we should have had a free kick on the corner of the box that, again, just bizarrely wasn't given. And I know you've got to expect these things when you go to Anfield, but when you're in the position we're in, it just sort of adds salt to the wound.
Isn't that the problem, though, Pete? You say there we've got to expect these things. Not expect anything. What we should expect is a referee who's competent in his profession, with the right support from VAR to get in his ear and say, listen, you've missed that. Hold the game. We need to look at that. Because, you know, the push on Anthony Gordon from Alexander-Arnold, first of all, so the one outside the box, is a foul. It's a blatant foul. It's obvious. It's not even a case of, oh, there wasn't enough contact to go down. He's being shoved. He's running the pace. He's going to go down. That was blatant. Throw us in the mix then. Obviously, he's been booked for diving after that, hasn't he? So he's done himself no favours there. And it was, listen, it's a dive, rightly booked, totally agree. We then go to the second half, and we're going to discuss the melee, by the way, the first half in a second. We then go to the second half when Gordon, you know, gets shoved again from Matip. I mean, we were just saying, weren't we, before we started recording, go back, rewind to when Dominic Calvert-Lewin got a shove on the back that time. And we won a penalty and Wayne Rooney scored the goal. Now, when you were saying, Jim, weren't you, that if you look at the one Anthony Gordon's a day compared to that, the one today was worse. So there's...
Yeah, definitely much worse. I mean, much more obvious a foul, and yet, like, nothing at all, not a review. It's just, you know, it must be great to be a Liverpool fan. When you go into games with that level of advantage, where you can, you know, poke players in the eye, where you can give away pens that aren't called, where you can push people in the back and be the last man and not get a red card. You think, someone put on Twitter, like, it's been like 14 months since Liverpool have conceded a penalty at Anfield. And it's obvious why, because penalties just aren't given there. They go into the season with this natural advantage over other clubs. I mean, they're an exceptional football team, and they will beat most teams in that league. But it must be fantastic to think that you can do all these things. You can foul people. You can push people over. I think when the Klopp said he wants his teams to be legally aggressive, well, that's great if the laws don't apply to you, because you can do what you want, and that's what Liverpool do. But every game, you know, it's a multitude of like little and bigger aggressions against other teams that just don't get called. I think it's no wonder they do so well. You think about, imagine our season if we just could get away with murder every single game. There's no way we'd be in the position we are now. It's they just, you know, I don't even think it's just a Big Six thing. I think Liverpool, more than most teams, benefit from this at home. It's incredible that the level of officiating that happens. And to the point, like, where you say you expect nothing, but you should expect something. It should be fair. It should be, you know, no matter what happens, what game it is, where it takes place, the official should be fair. But they're evidently not. It's just weird how it's allowed to continue.
Well, this was the reason VAR was, well, you know, apparently brought in, wasn't it, to try and cut out these sort of ridiculous decisions. And for me, unless we hear the conversation, I've said this a million times, between the two referees, one in Stockley Park, the one on the pitch, you're never ever going to be able to get complete clarity. And I agree with you there, Jim. I mean, look, for a start, we all know it was a pen. Carragher, the most biased commentator out there, even said it was a pen, even though he had to watch it four times to eventually come out and say it. And everybody knew it was a pen. Everybody knew it was a pen. It was clumsy. Matip's got the wrong side, and he's pushed him with his arms. It's not even shoulder to shoulder. And the fact that the camera then, the next bit of play, is that Liverpool are in our box. I'm thinking, hang on a minute, referee's got to stop the game here. Goal kick, right, hold on, this has got to be reviewed. We've got to look at this from different angles. It wasn't even done. 5 seconds later, they were literally in our box, ready to have a counter-attack. And I just think it's absolutely shambolic, that, because Pete's right, 0-0. That was the game changer, really, there. Look, we were in the game. It was, you know, got to 60 minutes without really looking like they were going to score. Yes, they raised the tempo second half. Yes, they brought on substitutions, particularly Diaz, who's a threat. You know, the Origi thing, as I said before to you boys, it's absolutely comical. I mean, he's worse than Rondon for me. and Liverpool fans don't, but he obviously seems to find a way of scoring. But again, like Pete said, there were two absolutely scruffy as hell goals. If you look at that first one, Salah's played it into his feet, nice little layoff. He's not even looked up. He just put it in an area. And unfortunately, Gray's not tracking Robertson. Gray's just ball watching a little bit. It's gone in. It's a fortuitous goal, really, because he's not picked him out. And obviously, the second one, he's just, scuffed it into the ground on a scissor volley and it's happened to fall on his head. So, sometimes in footy, you know, it can be a cruel game. You need a bit of luck in football. And we didn't get that Anfield today. And obviously, it doesn't help when you've got officials like that who are, and the correct adjective is bottled it, completely and utterly bottled it. Bottled it, absolutely bottled it, and I couldn't believe they didn't even have a proper full review of it either.
Yeah, there was many. I mean, we've mentioned obviously the situation around Anthony Gordon. We made a little reference there to eye gouging, and I don't want to. I hate it when we have to look back on games and we spend 50-60% of our time discussing the refereeing performance, because what. I hate blaming results on referees, on officiating, but we've seen it too often this season for Everton. And we've mentioned it on previous shows. You want to go back to Brentford, Man City, Newcastle. These games where big decisions have gone against Everton, but basic, not difficult decisions to make, basic decisions to make, and have gone against us. You look at today, okay, Liverpool won the game 2-0. And all the Reds are in our comments. I've made reference to the Liverpool man, the match being the referee today. And they're all in the comments saying, I think you'll find that we won the game because we scored two goals. Yeah, you scored two goals. But the point is, you should have been down to 10 men. We should have had a snowball penalty turned down. And big situations like that change games. So the game wouldn't have been played out in the same manner if we get a penalty, if they get a man sent off. It just wouldn't have happened. And this is what frustrates me. I mean, the situation around when Decore gets booked. So Richarlison's down and you've got Sky's fan zone, where it was apparently on today, with Jamie Carragher screaming at Richarlison to get up, when he clearly turns his ankle and jars his knee when he goes in for a tackle. I saw that sitting in my living room, and that's the thing. He's in the ground. He's a Liverpool supporter. He's getting all emotional. His voice is getting high, even more high pitched by the second, because Richarlison is down on the floor. Now, Richarlison is the king of winding people up. Don't get me wrong. And Richarlison in the past has stayed down. He stayed down when he had the ball clear, and he hadn't hurt himself, but he was wasting time. I get all that, but you can't, as a commentator, be squealing about things like that when you're meant to be sitting there impartially commenting on a game. And obviously it leads to the melee when Decore puts a tackle in. And you've got Mane, coming over. He eye gouged on Mason Holgate and then shoves a land in the face, all in the space of about, 7-8 seconds maybe. Now, there was none of, like, this has gone to VAR, have a little look for a red card. There was none of that. There was no question of that. And nothing's been made of it. Nothing. They won't sit there and go through the big decision today and say, that should have gone to VAR. There should have been more done about that. Frank Lampard will come out and he'll say, not being funny, should have been a red card, should have been down to 10 men. It'll do us no good. But look what's happened. We got an apology from the Premier League. And since then, we've had even worse decisions gone against us. So it won't change. But there's a basic issue here with the standard of officiating, with the teams who seem to be getting the rub of the green more often than not. Like you said, Jim, Liverpool probably more than most teams get it quite often. And, where is it costing us, quite a few points when we desperately need them? It's given those points to other sides and, helping them out. But, I mean...
The referees caused that melee, by the way, by basically bad officiating. He didn't control the game, lost complete control of it. Richarlison, look, we all know Richarlison, he's South American, the histrionics, we all know that. Sometimes it frustrates us, sometimes he has to do that to get a free kick, by the way, because he gets kicked everywhere in a lot of games. But the referee lost complete control there. Yes, I know if it's not a head injury, he doesn't have to stop the play. But, 9 times out of 10 there, we see it all the time, they still stop the play. And then Decore's had to kick him, and he runs over to Decore like right in his face, like a 70s ref. and like literally rap and you know, right in his face, like, you know, it's like I was watching a Mexican World Cup or something. You know what I mean? And then you suddenly see that, and then also that causes a melee then, because everyone comes flying in. And then, you know, I didn't see the Mané thing at first, but then the irony is there. If Holgate goes down and holds his face, they have to review it, and they review it, he probably sends him off. You know what I mean? So it's embarrassing. Players almost have to, you know, go down like Henderson. Like, you know, like I couldn't even believe that at the end there, the way he was going. He was only on the pitch 2 minutes. He's trying to get people sent off, going down and literally like he's broken his leg. You almost have to do that now in order for VAR to take it seriously. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. And look, at the end of the day, look, we came into this game. Let's be honest. Most fans, I don't care how staunch you are, would have been thinking, look, this is the level Liverpool are playing at the minute. This could be a hammering. And to be fair, we gave a good account of ourselves. And we, you know, we've conceded two scruffy goals. On another day, we may have got that pen and had something to hold on to. We didn't. But we move on now. We have six games, as I said, 18 points to play for. If we turn it like that against Chelsea next week, set up like that, be hard to beat, resilient. Chelsea aren't great shakes at the minute. They're all over the show. Tuchel's lost his head a little bit as well. I think we can potentially get something there as well, even if it's a point. But those three games in the week coming up, as we all know, they're the crucial games, whether we'll stay up or go down for me.
Yeah. And it's what I mean. I'm sick and tired of looking at games and saying, we'll pick up, you know, a couple of points, 3 points there, point there. It's so difficult to try and, you know, there's so few games left now. And we find ourselves in the bottom three, which is a horrible place to be. But, I mean, before we obviously look ahead at things like that, just on the game itself and trying to, if we can, not get involved with the refereeing side of things. If we look at the game piece, you know, we look at, there was moments, wasn't there? There was moments that we had that the Corey chance first half, we thought, you know, they should have done a bit better for me, to be honest with you. You look at the Damari Gray one, I think it was a 1-0 when he's put it, you know, great efforts, put it maybe a foot or so wide. Anthony Gordon dragged one across the keeper when maybe he should have done better. You know, we had chances. It wasn't as if we went there and literally sat there for 90 minutes and didn't cause any kind of threat, because I think we did. And that's got to be maybe a positive that we can take from the game.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. For 60, 65 minutes, we have the better of the chances than Liverpool. You know, yeah, they had a lot more of the ball, but we had some really clear-cut chances. And I don't think you can be too, you know, harsh on, you know, Decore or Gordon or Damari Gray for their efforts, because, you know, under pressure, not a lot of time on the ball, difficult chances. You probably wouldn't say we had anything clear cut, but yeah, there was lots of really positive attacking play, and it feels something we're all maybe touching on today is that Frank Lampard is consistently putting out very well trained, very well organised football teams, and generally in the Premier League, with the quality that we've got in our team, it would be enough to certainly at least keep us up. But for me, it's the worry of the psychological impact now of being in the bottom three. You know, do we have the players that can, I suppose, step up to that now? You know, Burnley, you know, they're used to being in this position, aren't they? This isn't particularly new for them. I'm not saying that they've got a better side than us, but you wonder, you know, psychologically, having players that, you know, season in, season out, have been in that position, that know how to manage it, know to scrape through, you know, have we got those characters, and, you know, how are our squad going to adapt? And I think the loss of Calvert-Lewin has been huge. I think there's so much pressure on Richarlison to, you know, to come up with goals. And I think, like Lee said, that the way the opposition teams tend to set up against him is to wind him up and hurt him and stop him from playing. And he's, what was he, 5'10", 5'11"? So I think he has a difficult task for us most weeks, where, you know, the ball's getting pumped up to him. And I think there is promise, but I think it's between us and Leeds, to be honest. I think Burnley will just continue to rise up the table. But if you look at after Leeds play Palace, I think they've got, is it City, Chelsea, Arsenal? Mm. I think roughly around the same time that we go in to our sort of next three of Chelsea, Leicester away, And then is it Watford away?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly worth a discussion, to be honest, because what we've tried to be all the time, we've recorded this, tried to be as positive as we possibly can, and it's, again, we've never found ourselves in this position since we started recording this show over 3 years ago. We've been through it, a couple of difficult periods, but we've got to try and look for some kind of positivity. And today we've seen shoots of positivity, if you can say that, against a very, very strong side. We feel hard done by because of the poor refereeing decisions. And just to quote Frank Lampard, who's been interviewed after the game, he said, well, it's a penalty in the second half. You don't get them here. If it's Mo Salah at the other end, it's a penalty. So that tells you all that you need to know about what the mind's yet. Is thinking. He obviously, we've been here before. Frank Lampard has called out the officials before. We've had apologies in the past, and like I said, we continue to have poor decisions made post apology. So it means very little. We can't take anything from that. But we've got to try and, you know, can we find some positivity somewhere? Can we, you know, can we look at other teams and see what they've got to do to stay in the league? And I think it's worth a chat about that. So we're a leader derby there. And, you know, I don't want to dwell on things too much. Difficult game, massively hard done to, in our opinion. Did okay, setup was decent. And, you know, we've got a job on our hands now to stay in the Premier League, and we're gonna have a short break, and we're gonna discuss where we think we could maybe gain on these teams over the next few weeks. We'll be back in about 30 seconds. Welcome back to the second part of this week's Unholy Trinity podcast. And like I said, you know, I hate predicting things. I hate looking at where we can get points and, you know, where we might struggle and things like that. But we've got to try and find something. And like Pete said before the break, you know, we're looking at Burnley, who certainly now start to pull up. You know, they've sacked Sean Dyche one or two ways, doesn't it? Either they fall apart, you know, with a lack of leadership, or it galvanises the squad. And it certainly galvanised the squad, by all accounts. Won again, beat Wolves today after beating Southampton. Obviously, we've beaten ourselves. If that goes another way, we're not talking about it, are we? But they were the side that we are still closest to as we speak today. But we've had a chat already around their fixtures. And Jim mentioned earlier as well about the playing sides, you've got nothing to play for. I mean, if we look at their fixture list, Jim, just to have a quick chat on Burnley, big game. Watford haven't won for quite a few weeks, but Watford away next weekend for Burnley before playing Villa, Tottenham, Villa again, and then they finish off with a home game against Newcastle. And like you said, out of those sides, who's playing for anything? And it's Spurs, you know, who's the third game for them. Newcastle much improved, you know, they look very, very good at the moment, picking up points. But you don't see Burnley, you know, looking at, they've got 15 points to play for. If you're looking at those games, what are you thinking in terms of points total for Burnley there?
It's hard to say. I mean, I think you can confidently say they will pick up points. I mean, whether they'll get four wins from that, I mean, that's very possible. I mean, Villa aren't in good form, got nothing to play for at all, really. That could be two wins. Watford are terrible at the moment. That could be 9 points there. And then the last game of the season, if you're playing somebody at Newcastle, you don't really care, and their heads are on the beach already, that could be another 3 points. So, I mean, you know, bearing in mind the recent form Burnley are in and that run of fixtures, I mean, seeing as they are, you know, potentially our main rivals in this fight, I think they're going to do okay. So it's, you know, again, it comes down to us, really. Everton, I don't know how much we can rely on other people now. We have to start picking up more points than we have been. I mean, there are winnable games in our final six. There are still, you know, a couple of tough ones there as well. But, you know, we will be playing teams who've got nothing to play for as well. With playing teams like Chelsea, who are probably there for the taking at the moment. There's the worst form they've been in all season, and we're at home. So, you know, it's difficult. I mean, you think back to kind of past relegation fights. You think back to like 94 and 98. And like a lot of it just comes down to luck and who you're playing at what time of the season. That's, you know, I don't even think often character doesn't play a role, because often you're in a position because your team lacks character. I think people often think back to 94 and 98 and you think about people like, you know, Ferguson and Horn and Hutchinson and Ebro and people like that. But actually those teams were down there because those players went high, and Everton survived on both those occasions just through massive slices of good fortune. So you've got to hope that happens again, that maybe, I don't know, Burnley pick up some injuries, that, you know, you get some weird goal in some game. I think that's what's going to save. And obviously, Everton have to turn up and play like we did today and fight. But if we survive, I think it's going to be down to, like those past occasions, like 94, 98, it's going to be down to just one of those things. It's just good luck or bad luck if we drop.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Lee, in terms of Burnley? Do you think that they, I mean, obviously, like I say, it's easy to say that out of it. They're certainly not out of it. They're 2 points clear of us, and we've got a game in hand, you know, so they're certainly not out of it. They've got a much more favourable run of fixtures. But do you see them as the main threat to us now, or do you think Leeds are going to be sucked in looking at the fact that they have got, after Palace, you've got Man City, Arsenal, Chelsea, Brighton, and then they finish off away at Brentford?
Yeah, it's hard to say, isn't it? Yeah, but you'd never have thought, you know, Burnley would have got that, strung these results together. They've won four games all season in the Daesh, and they've managed to pull. You know, the irony is, you know, that game, which for me we threw away at their place. We were in control of that game. We were 2-1 up, and we threw the points away through absolute schoolboy errors. We won't go over that again, but that could prove to be decisive, that game potentially at their place. Because that's one of the worst teams I've seen play in the Premier League, the way they were just launching balls, long throws, everything. It's like a throwback to Stoke, but probably worse. But ultimately, it's a tricky one, lads. It's a tricky one because I Burnley, like Jim just said there, could quite conceivably, you know, get a couple more results. Everyone raves about Gerrard. I think Gerrard's done a really a really average job since he's coming at Villa. You know what I mean? They came to our place. They weren't great at Goodison. They managed to nick a goal from a set piece, 1-0. And then he bounces out the ground thinking he's Arrigo Sacchi. You know what I mean? And with a grin on his face, like he's just done some sort of tactical masterclass. But they've not been great. And let's not forget, he spent a few quid in the window as well. You know what I mean? Including nicking one of our best players. So, it will be interesting. But for me, we've just got to focus on ourselves and try and get as many points as possible. As I said, I fancy is to get, you know, potentially get something against Chelsea. They've got a cup final to think about as well. Yes, their squad is ridiculous, but we were completely depleted, if you remember, and went to Stamford Bridge and got a result. You know, and set up very similar to how we did today. I do fancy we could potentially get something there with the Goodison crowd. I thought Leicester was a weird game. I thought we were really unfortunate in that game. Leicester played well, knocked it around nicely, but they played a lot of football in front of us. And, you know, Richarlison the other day there gets a hat-trick. It was such a weird, bizarre game that we probably should have nicked it for chances created. So, look, you know, like I said, let's try and stay positive. Negativity gets us nowhere here. Gets us absolutely nowhere. We've got to stick together as a fan base. You know, give it absolutely everything. Yes, maybe we lack the characters we've had in the past. You know, the sort of dogs of war teams, things like that. But ultimately, I've been impressed with the way they've committed themselves the last few games, and we've got to give absolutely everything now between now and the end of the season.
It's not a frustrating thing, though. You know, we're looking at, you know, maybe the Newcastle game where we scored so late on. Looking at United, obviously we stayed in the game against Leicester and got a goal late on. Isn't that the frustrating thing that we're saying about how the players look more committed, you know, in recent weeks? But isn't that the bare minimum that we asked for? If we're that committed all season, we're not in the situation that we're in. Now, that's probably a very basic way of looking at things because, you know, they're human beings. They go through a range of emotions. They go through poor form. They go through issues off the pitch. So it's a very basic thing to say. I think it's something that we do say quite often. But that's really frustrating, isn't it? Because we'd say, if I'm playing for the club, then every week I'm playing, I'm giving up 110%. It's as simple as that. Because I want to be there. I want to do my best. I want to win for this football team. And that's what really frustrates me. Because that you know, this squad on paper, regardless of its shortcomings and issues we've had in the transfer market and you know, maybe a little imbalance here and there, you know, that side should be nowhere near the bottom three. Let's get it right. If you look at that side at the start of the season, you'd say we were probably 10 to 12 would be probably about right. We shouldn't be sitting where we are. And that comes from the managerial appointment that was made before the season started. As much as he's moaned this week about what he came into and the fact he got sacked and his team's always, you know, have a good second half of the season, et cetera, et cetera. Issues, a lot of issues around that, a lot of issues that have happened years before. You know, there's a lot of things gone on that have put us into the situation that we find ourselves in, but we shouldn't be where we are. And I keep on saying this on social media, that the time for the post-mortem is at the end of the season. So at the moment, our sole concentration is back on the lads. Those who are at the game, get behind them. You know, just try and do whatever you can. Lee, you say about creating positivity. I totally agree with that, to try and be positive. We've got to be realistic as well, but no harm in being positive and backing the lads and giving them whatever we can. But whether we stay up or we go down, don't get me wrong, there will be a massive, massive fallout from this season in some way, shape or form. There's got to be wholesale changes through, you know, the boardroom level. There will be changes on a playing staff level. There's already changes afoot in terms of coaching staff. Obviously, we've already made a few changes, like the director of football, etc., and the team that he's got. So there's a lot of things going on, a lot of things to happen. But it just frustrates me when about the commitment side. It really gets to me because I just think, oh, man, that's the basic side of football, and that's the first thing that we expect as Evertonians and any football fan, to be honest, is the players are committed. But I think
on the whole, the players have been committed in the main again since Lampard's come in. There's probably a few occasions where you could probably question them, but I think on the whole, they've been committed. The biggest mistake we did, Jim nailed it before. We should have got rid of Rafa way before we did. Yeah, you know, he won one game in 14 and still managed to keep his job. You know, which was unbelievable. Not just the fact we hadn't won; it's the way we were playing, the way we were setting up against inferior teams at home, trying to nick points. And you know, it was embarrassing, to be honest. And his comments this week, Rafa's in the Athletic, the interview with Shearer was just absolutely comical. The guy's deluded. He's finished. He's finished. He was finished a long time ago. That brand of football sailed away, you know, 15 years ago. You know, although having said that, the irony is we did a sort of Jose type part of the bus performance today. But I mean, you know, needs must in these types of games. And anyone criticising Everton for the way he set up today doesn't understand football for me. That's the way you set up against a team that's flying, arguably potentially could even do the quadruple, which is scary as hell. I hope to God they don't. But you know, they are a top side. No matter how we dress up, they are. And you know, we've given them a game today, and you know, I'm just unlucky not to get something from it.
Yeah, no, I do agree with all of that. And by the way, what Liverpool did was no concern to me. I couldn't care less. They can win all four as long as we stay up. But I think, you know, fate will tell you that won't happen. Either they won't win all four and we'll stay up, or they win all four and Everton will drop. And that's the frightening thing. But you know, there's certainly still hope. You know, it's still, as people keep saying, in our hands. Do you think Leeds are going to peak? Do you think Leeds are the one, just before we move on to Chelsea, Leeds are the one that we've got to sort of keep a close eye on and hope they drop points? Because I think, just before you come in, from my point of view, with those three games you've got after Crystal Palace, which obviously is a big game tomorrow night, so I'm sure we'll be tuning into that. If you start to lose games, a domino effect can happen, can't it? And the pressure then comes on them.
I think it'll be either Everton or Leeds that go. You look at Leeds' goal difference, I think, what are they on, minus 30?
I'm just on the same one. Yeah, so these leads are on.
It's good as a point, isn't it?
It is, and that's the thing with Burnley. Burnley have turned it around the last few games. They've gone to minus 16 and we're minus 21.
Yeah. So after Palace, I'm sure they're running. I don't know what the order is, but isn't it City, Chelsea, Arsenal?
I think it's exactly that running, to be honest with you, Pete.
So for me, it's about how we approach the next three games and how Leeds approach their next three after the Palace game. And I think whoever comes out of that run with the most points will probably have the psychological kick on then to have success in what might be considered on paper to be the more winnable games. But that's the slight irony with this Everton side. You know, you look at like the Man City performance, the performance against United, the performance today against Liverpool. We set up against these sides, you know, really well, and we look competitive and we look organised and we look like a team, and you feel proud watching Everton play, and you have a bit of belief that we can get something, or if you don't get something, it's because of, you know, a terrible decision, or, you know, something's gone against us. But then you look at like the Newcastle game away, or Burnley away, you know, and they were the games that, you know, really counted, where, you know, a win there would have been a deep psychological blow, and to opponents, to relegation rivals. And I think, you know, Evertonians, we've got to learn our lesson to looking after the next two or three games to the likes of Watford away and seeing it as a dead cert. It's not a dead cert. You know, we've got to get something out of the next couple of games against Chelsea and Leicester. Otherwise, we could find ourselves in a position where we're in the bottom three, Leeds and Burnley have pulled away, and we just can't recover. And that's my big worry. So, fingers crossed for Palace, and let's hope we get something next weekend against Chelsea.
Yeah, the next two games for us are big. You know, Chelsea, Leicester, obviously two. Better size on paper than us. Let's get it right. Chelsea at the top of the top end of the table. Leicester have been a good competitive side. You know, since they won the Premier League, really, they've really done well, and obviously doing well in Europe. And we saw them this week at Goodison, how comfortable they are in possession, and they've got a few, you know, some real quality there as well. But we've just got to take one game at a time, and it's difficult not to look ahead, and that's what we've tried not to do. But it's when you look at the fixtures that Leeds have got, you know, like you said, Peter, at the same time, if they pick up a couple of points out of those three games, then them themselves, you know, they're probably pulling themselves away and feeling good about the football, and, you know, are likely to survive. So it's a hard
situation. Quickly, Mike, just quickly while you're on, I'm just looking at Leicester's fixtures here. So they've got Roma, haven't they, in the Conference League. Now, they're playing Roma on the 5th of May, away from home, second leg, and playing us 2 days later on the 7th. So that's not, you know, they're going to put their apps. You know, if you look at Leicester, they played Newcastle before they played us this week, and they made seven changes. They played their best 11 against us. That was Leicester's best team on paper, bar Jamie Vardy. You know, they had Evans in there, the Fofana in there, Castagna in there, Pereira in there. Yeah, a lot of those players have been injured all season. They've looked really vulnerable whenever Evans has not played. Obviously, I don't rate that so into you. Marty's awful. So, you know, for me, 2 days gap difference there, you'd assume they're going to put their best team out against Roma. That's their biggest game of the season. You know, so hopefully when we play them at their place, you know, there'll be a very much a changed side. Now, they have got a reasonable squad, but it certainly won't be the team that rocked up at Goodison the other day.
Yeah, and that's it, isn't it? You know, it was probably unlucky for us, the fact that we got that side that we got, because they are rotating so much, Leicester. But all you can do is play the side that you put up against them. That's all we can do. It's going to be difficult going there with our away record and against, you know, a decent side. But hopefully the likes of, obviously, Yerry Mina, who was rested today after playing on Wednesday, after obviously being out for quite a while, hopefully he comes back in. And he's good for the final six games. But let's leave that chat there. We're gonna have one short break, final break, and have a quick chat about our next game, which is at home to Chelsea next Sunday. We're back in about 30 seconds. Welcome back to the final part of this week's Unholy Trinity podcast. And like I said, it's all eyes now looking ahead to Goodison Park on Sunday, where Chelsea are in town, a Chelsea side who are in poor form at the moment. You know, they're still sitting third in the table. Snuck a win today against West Ham very, very late on. Seems to have a few issues in the camp as well, judging by, you know, I know Rudiger, he's turned down a deal and is going to be on his way. Looks like to Real Madrid. And Christiansen got injured today in the warm-up and they had to make a change. They've got a few issues at the back. You know, they knocked out of the Champions League when, you know, I watched that game when I was away, and really they should have won that, to be honest with you, against a pretty average Real Madrid side under Carlo Ancelotti, who was doing well with them. By the way, it's not me having a go with Carlo Ancelotti. But not in great form, are they, Jim, at the moment, Chelsea? And that's what can give us a little bit of hope going into that game, that we're not facing Chelsea, you know, under Mourinho in, you know, his first or second stint at the club. We're facing a side with a very, very good manager, but in a very, very difficult period at this moment in time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I was looking ahead to kind of our fixtures, that was the game that kind of in this kind of three-game block that I was more confident about. Anyway, I thought Lampard would have a point to prove against Chelsea. The club itself is going through a lot of uncertainty off the pitch. Tuchel's encountering his first kind of real stumble since he joined the club. I mean, they're still a very, very good football team who can probably turn up and defeat most sides in the league. But if you kind of wanted to play Chelsea, kind of any set of circumstances this season, and with any manager in charge, I'd say it's having Lampard, and it's playing them now, and it's playing them at home as well. That's going to make a big, big difference. I mean, I don't think for a minute it'll be an easy game. Again, like Everton are going to have to turn up and play in the same way that they did against United and against Liverpool today and against City, and be really competitive. But, you know, I was more confident about that fixture than about Liverpool or even Leicester away. So it's a massive game. And I think if we lose it, I think then we're in real trouble. I mean, we're obviously in trouble now, but if we don't pick up 3 points against them and Burnley and Leeds get something, then, you know, I think we'd be safe to drop. So it's, you know, it's probably the most important game that we've had this season, if not for years. And if we get something out of it, kind of the psychological impact of that will be huge, because you're beating one of the best teams in the league, and then you can go into the Leicester game full of confidence. So it's I'm not necessarily confident, but it's a game I think Everton can certainly win.
Ironically, we've played well against the so-called better sides this season. Yeah. Teams that have come on to us, we've actually played better. You know, we've struggled against the teams we're expected to beat. So, yeah, I think, like I said before, I think it's not a bad time to play them. Tuchel's had a lot to deal with at that club in the last couple of months, you know, with obviously everything going on in terms of Abramovich, the purported sale going through, you know, the fact they couldn't even sell tickets. You know, like you said, Mike, they were very unfortunate to go out against Real Madrid. Real Madrid were excellent at Stamford Bridge. They were very fortunate at the Bernabeu. So I thought, yeah, you know, apparently he's going through a divorce, Tuchel, as well. So I think he's been struggling behind the scenes in terms of that. So, you know, you could see cracks emerging. He was talking about the pitch, wasn't he, at Stamford Bridge of the day, blaming the pitch and things like that. So it's clearly been getting to him, even though I think he has handled himself very well on the whole. But it's an opportunity here to have a, you know, a nibble at Chelsea. I think they are a bit of a wounded animal at the minute. And as I said, all their eyes will be on trying to get something out of the cup final. Because let's be fair as well, they were probably the better side in the League Cup final and didn't come out with it. You know, it took Kepa to bloody miss a penalty to lose it when they probably should have won that as well. A couple of VAR decisions went for Liverpool then. It's a big game. It's a massive game. Every game's a big game now. And it's a real, for me, it's an opportunity to try and get something. You know, yes, you could probably say it's must win, but it's certainly, you know, must not lose, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we've got to take something from the game, haven't we? Like Jim said, then, you know, it's so important, because if we if we don't, and you get the likes of Leeds and Burnley picking up points in their respective games, and they start to get a little bit of a buffer and start to pull away, psychologically, it can kill a side, you know. And I think dropping into the bottom three, psychologically, I think Pete mentioned that before, you know, that's a big thing as well. And it's how do the squad react to that? Because for so long, we've sort of clung on to not being in that situation and getting, you know, little points here and there and, you know, the odd win to keep us away. And then obviously things have turned now over the last couple of weeks, really. And it's how the squad now react to being in that situation. Does it galvanise them? Do they think, you know, six huge games here to keep me at this club? You know, do they want to be at the club? We're going to see, you know, what the characters are really like now. And, you know, Lee, you mentioned earlier on that we've seen probably a more committed Everton side over the last few weeks. I think that continued today. And we looked, you know, we held, you know, probably the best side, or one, you know, second best side in the league for an hour. And like we've touched on already, we should have had a couple of decisions go our way, major decisions in that time, which could have really seen us be ahead at some point and take something from the game. So we've got to look at that. We've got to hope that other sides can help us out along the way, which again isn't great. I know it's still in our hands, but you know, we know that the likes of Leeds and Burnley can drop points, and we need a favour, I think, to take the pressure off us as well. But Chelsea, always a difficult game. Whether they're in good form, bad form, Jim, you said, you know, one of the sides you can put on a performance to turn up anywhere and win any game against anyone on any given day. So it's never easy. But you got a bit of confidence, Pete, going into the game, or do you think it's a dare not lose again?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, it's do not lose, isn't it? And again, I know I'm probably the most miserable out of everybody on the podcast. I can't help it. But there's a part of me that thinks, you know, Romelu Lukaku's done absolutely nothing in weeks, and you can just see him, can't you, having a part to play. I mean, let's hope not. Let's hope my misery is a reaction to the derby and it's completely unfounded. But, you know, like the lad said, like we said before, we do tend to have put our best performances under Lampard in against the so-called, you know, top sides, bigger sides. And, you know, either we've got something from those games or we've been incredibly unlucky not to. So let's hope he's set a bit of a precedent and, you know, it's clear he knows how to get the sides, get the team organised and up for those kind of games. So let's hope we can pull off another 1-0 home winner.
That's the Everton in you, that, Pete. That's the Everton in you, mate. Don't let it take you down, mate. Don't let it take you down. Lukaku will probably try and bag an own goal because he'll probably want us to stay up. he hates Chelsea as well. You can just tell he hates him. You know, I mean, they destroyed his career when he was a kid, and now he clearly doesn't want to be there now, does he?
Yeah, it's not worked out for Lukaku. And I think the funny thing is with him, I think we had the best of him, didn't we, in the Premier League?
As an Inter did. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Inter, it's a different league, obviously, but in terms of the Premier League, you know, that was prime Lukaku for us. He was exceptional. You know, some of the things that he did, and, you know, we could sit here and talk all day about the shit he got from Everton fans and things like that. But listen, for me, you know, I know people love their Yakubu and things like that, but Lukaku's been our best ever striker in the Premier League. What a talent. And it's funny because United didn't really work for him. He was great at Inter, and he made the mistake of going back to Chelsea when really maybe he should have gone to Spain and played his trade there. But yeah, great talents. Hopefully, like you said, he knocks an own goal in and we win the game 1-0. But Pete's going for a 1-0. That's Pete's prediction. I'm bagging that one. So we'll put that into the machine, Pete. Jim, what are you saying, prediction, Everton-Chelsea?
1-0.
The Catalan goal?
Yeah.
Lee?
I'm scoring. But I can also see us scoring. You look at the goals they conceded the other day against Arsenal, against Nketiah and stuff like that. It was literally like absolutely horrendous at the back, wasn't it? So yeah, I think we can nick it. I think we can nick it 2-1.
2-1. I'm going to go into the 1-0 club, I think. I think we can. I do. I think we'll get something from the game, which would be massive. And it's just important that we do. You know, you've got to just, with it being one game at a time, you've got to put that game out of your mind. Now, today's gone. Take whatever positives you can take from it. Yerry Mina back on the side, which is big. Ben Godfrey, unfortunately, today, we saw that he picked up an injury in the warm-up. Now, I know Frank Lampard has mentioned that he was obviously about the injury. And if you give me 1 second, I'll just tell you what it is. So, muscle injury. So, they're hoping that it's minor with Ben Godfrey. So, whether he makes a week's time against Chelsea remains to be seen. With a player like him, who's had a few little issues this season, and a player who relies on speed, it's almost, you know, it's inevitable that happens to quicker players. But hopefully, if it's minor, great, could be back in for Chelsea, if not Leicester. But yeah, you mean a back in. And, you know, Fabian Delph might come in, maybe. Who knows? You know, he's played the last couple of games, he didn't play today. But we'll see. We get a few fresh legs in. Dominic Calvert-Lewin might be close, might not be close. We'll see. But fingers crossed for a positive performance and a positive result. But that's us for this week. Jim, again, thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate you taking your time off after what's been a difficult day for us Evertonians once again.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
And we'll get your link out to your books. Anyone wants a good laugh and a chuckle and, you know, a good read, you know, ignore the Everton ones for the time being, maybe. But there's some other great books out there as well about football in general, which is really, really interesting to read as well. So we'll get the link out for them for you, Jim, after the show. And we will catch everyone. He's off on his holidays again. So he has a pop at me for going away for the first time in 3.5 years. But Lee's going away again next week, playing a bit of golf and tennis. So he won't be on the show. Me and Peter will be here to hopefully look back on a positive Everton performance against Chelsea. So we will catch you then.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues. Three opinions. One Everton podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.